Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me this morning on my radio program. Today is Monday, May 23rd, 2022. For the last several weeks, the Iranian freedom fighters have taken to the streets to stand up and protest the oppressive government price hikes, the economy, and the devastating lifestyle that they have to live under this iron-fisted dictatorship every day. It's been going on now for 43 years. And when you think about the oppressive situation for the Iranian people, you ask yourself the very simple question, will one day freedom and democracy come to Iran? Will there be an end to their strife? Will there be an end to their oppression? Well, I do have some very good news this morning I want to share with you. I've taught on this subject several times before, but in light of the recent uprisings, I believe it's important to teach on this subject again. I'm speaking about Bible prophecy and the future of Iran. And I'd like to take some time to read from my book this morning, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. 43 years later, what is the future of Iran? On February 1st, 1979, millions of desperate Iranians filled the streets of Tehran, welcoming their new king from exile. The Ayatollah Khomeini stepped down from a 747 jumbo jet that had just arrived at the airport from Paris, and there he proclaimed himself in the streets of Tehran as the new leader of the Islamic Revolution. Iranians were emotionally overwhelmed and very hopeful that the Ayatollah would bring them the true freedom that they had been longing for now since the Shah and his family had went into exile in Egypt. So there was this big celebration, this big welcoming this man from exile. It had been 43 years. Well, let's say it has been 43 years since that historic moment in time. And Iranians have gotten everything but true freedom. The Islamic Republic of Iran has been one of the fiercest totalitarian governments in the Middle East. It has been 43 long and cruel years of oppression under a dictatorship that has replaced freedom with slavery to the ancient system of Sharia law. There has been 43 years of lies and deception, 43 years of suppression of human rights, with no religious freedom and no freedom of speech. 43 years of executions as the penalty for speaking out in Iran and disagreeing with the government is death. 43 years of women being covered and veiled and lashed for failure to adhere to the Islamic dress code. 43 years of the reign of mullahs who rule your life from the cradle to the grave. During the winter uprising of 2017, when Iranian protesters took to the streets in 70 cities demanding that the government get out of Syria and start taking care of them, there was a haunting chant that could be heard summing up the angry mood of the people at that time. Quote, "The people are paupers while the mullahs live like gods," end quote. The Iranian economy, and like it is today, was in a death spiral due largely to the newly imposed sanctions by the Trump administration. Instead of sharing the wealth with the people that was gained by the sanctions relief from the Obama administration, the mullahs continued financing their terrorist connections and lived like kings while children slept in cardboard boxes out on the streets. Inflation, poverty, and homelessness saturated the landscape, resulting in an increase of suicide from depression and despair. Iranians were desperate for freedom and longed for the glory days when the Persian Empire flourished under kings who treated the people with tolerance and justice. One such king was King Cyrus, who founded Persia by uniting the Iranian tribes of the Medes and Persian. Although Cyrus, who was known as a great conqueror, was most well known for his tolerance and magnanimous attitude towards those he defeated. So he was a conqueror, but he was the most well-known king for his tolerance. When Cyrus conquered Babylon, he was greeted by the grateful cheers of the Jewish community, who welcomed him as a liberator. Cyrus is recognized from the pages of the Bible as being compassionate to the Jews and allowed them to return to their homeland to rebuild their temple. Respect and tolerance were the outstanding qualities of Cyrus, who was credited for creating the first charter of human rights known to mankind. Every October 29th, thousands of Iranians pay respect at his grave, celebrating King Cyrus Day. Iranians are desperately searching for this kind of leader, a liberator, a king like Cyrus, and in many ways, they look up to the Shah's son, Reza Pahlavi, as that liberator. In the recent protests just this past month, you can hear them chant, "Reza, Reza Pahlavi." They're asking for him to come as the Shah's son and bring freedom and democracy. And of course, Donald Trump, when he was president, was seen kind of as a liberator. He was responsible for the death of Soleimani, the terrorist general, in January of 2020. So he has been a liberator in many ways. They have been supported by Donald Trump. And of course, Reza Pahlavi has been their voice for the past many, many years, 43 to be exact. They are rising up these days with hope and beginning to believe again that there might be a future to Iran, a future with the promise of freedom and democracy. The burning question that must be answered is, quote, is there a bright future for the Iranian people, or will it be 40 more years of just death and destruction? Well, the key to answering this very important question, in my belief, is to recognize, first of all, that God is sovereign, that he is the sovereign Lord over history. And what that means is that he is in control. Scripture provides the answer to this burning question that I'm asking this morning. It says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, "Praise the name of God forever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. Daniel chapter 2 verse 20 declares that God is sovereign and that he is the one who sets up kings and kingdoms and removes them for his providential purposes. Satan is not in control of this planet, but rather, as scripture plainly teaches, God has the final say to the course of world events. I want to share with you now a powerful and insightful passage of scripture from the Old Testament, written more than 2,500 years ago. And this tiny little verse of scripture, I'll call it, that's tucked into the book of Jeremiah, I believe has tremendous insight into the future of Iran. Now, I can't take credit for this teaching. It is authored by a man named Bill Salas. He's a prophecy expert. He wrote about this in his book, Nuclear Showdown in Iran. And I want to quote this passage, and I want to read to you his insights for the people of Iran. Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 34 or 35 through 39. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the foremost of their might. Against Elam, I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven and scatter them toward all those winds. There shall be no nations where the outcasts of Elam will not go. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before those who seek their life. I will bring disaster upon them, my fierce anger, says the Lord, and I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from there the king and the princes, says the Lord. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring back the captives of Elam. As one translation says, restore the fortunes of Elam, says the Lord. Now that's very strange and kind of obscure. What on earth has Jeremiah chapter 49 to do with the nation of Iran? Well, Jeremiah issued his prophecies concerning Elam back in 596 B.C. Jeremiah wrote about Elam about a decade before his contemporary Ezekiel prophesied about Persia again in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 5. Ezekiel's ministry spanned the years between 595 and 573 B.C. Modern-day Iran is comprised of ancient Elam and Persia back in the day. Ezekiel, of course, was familiar with Elam. According to Ezekiel 32, verses 24 through 25, here's the important part. He did not include Elam in the lineup of invaders in Ezekiel 38. Elam was probably intentionally omitted because it is the subject of its own distinctly different prophecy outlined by Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the foremost of their might. Now, let's get a little history here. The Elamites were warlike people and expert archers. That's according to Genesis chapter 14, verses 1 through 9, and Isaiah chapter 22, verse 6. Jeremiah predicts that Iran will suffer the fate of a broken bow. Now, again, this is a dual fulfillment. This prophecy has future implications. It was not just speaking of the archers in the Old Testament time period. God is using this figure of archers in these prophecies of Jeremiah, which have yet to be fulfilled. He's using this figure to speak about a future event. He will break the bows of Elam again. And that might imply the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps. And what it might mean is that they will be unable to launch scores of missiles at its enemies. You know about the nuclear program that President Joe Biden wants to help the Iranian people rejoin, that Trump destroyed. So again, this is pertaining to this prophecy. The Biden administration will probably secure this deal, and the Iranian government will be on the way to developing nuclear weapons that Trump put an end to during his presidency. And what this message is saying, I will break the bows of Alam. God is saying, I will cause a situation to happen that they're not going to be able to launch missiles at their enemy, which of course is Israel. Now, he also says, he declares that Iran will be struck at the foremost place of its might, which today could infer an attack upon its nuclear program, one of Iran's most strategic and vulnerable nuclear targets is the Bushehr nuclear reactor that's located in the heart of ancient Alam. Now, Israel, of course, has concern about Iran's military intentions. They're concerned about Iran's quest to obtain nuclear weapons. Back in February of 2014, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that the goal is to prevent Iran from having the capability to manufacture and deliver nuclear weapons. Netanyahu says, I believe that means zero enrichment, zero centrifuges, zero plutonium, and of course an end to ICBM development. Now, of course, they have gone beyond the stated course of enrichment. There's a law against how much they can enrich. They've gone beyond that. Jeremiah 49:36 says, against Elam, I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven and scatter them toward all of their winds. There will be no nations where the outcasts of Elam will not go. Now, Bushehr could turn out to be the most dangerous piece of Iran's nuclear puzzle for another reason. Haphazard planning and ongoing technical problems mean it could be the next Chernobyl, igniting a humanitarian disaster and explosive economic damage across the oil-rich region. Jeremiah informs us that the attack upon the ancient territory of Elam will produce numerous refugees, just like we see today, many Iranian refugees, but this is talking in the future. It will probably become a humanitarian crisis. Exiles will be dispersed worldwide as if being blown about by overpowering winds. Now, several studies conducted of the safety of the Bushehr nuclear site have concluded that an accident at this facility could result in such a disaster. Jeremiah 49:37 says, for I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before those who seek their life. I will bring disaster upon them, my fierce anger, and I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. The Lord is angry at their intentions of trying to destroy his covenant people of Israel. Now, Iran has other enemies in this prophecy. The headlines of the newspapers and the internet depict a few of them. Every enemy against Iran has various reasons to prevent them from becoming a nuclear nation. Here, Jeremiah says that Elam has stirred up the Lord's anger, and that provokes the Lord to cause a severe disaster inside of Iran, could allude to a nuclear disaster caused from a strike upon Iran's Bushehr nuclear reactor. Nuclear Showdown in Iran, Bill Salas's book, explains how the present Iranian regime has fiercely angered the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 38 through 39, I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from there the king and the princes, says the Lord. But it shall come to pass in the latter days, I will bring back the captives of Elam. Notice that God says he's going to bring his throne directly into the center of Elam. But his anger is toward the king and the princes. That is the government structure, not the people of Iran. He is setting his throne in Elam in the future. And it says here he's promised to bring back the captives of Elam from the scattered four winds and restore their fortunes. We see in Iran the location of the largest underground church in the world. The Spirit of God has been bringing millions of Iranians out of the treachery of Islam into the kingdom of God. They have become Christians. These are fearless warriors for Christ, if you will. These are committed believers. God's Spirit has been working mightily in Iran for many, many years now. And we see in the future that God said, I will set my throne in Elam, and he will destroy the government, the kings and his princes, but restore the fortunes of his people. So these last two verses from Jeremiah's prophecy presents the exiles of Jeremiah 49 with the great news, just like the exiles of today. Iranians who accept Christ before his second coming will be returned from global exile into the restored fortunes of their historic homeland in Elam. Moreover, Jerusalem and Elam are the only two earthly locations identified in Scripture for the future establishment of the Lord's throne. Well, like I've mentioned, millions of Iranians have already become born-again believers in Christ. They are bold witnesses. In fact, Iran has, as I mentioned, the fastest-growing evangelical underground church in the world. Multitudes of Iranians are accepting Jesus as their Savior through watching satellite TV beamed right into Tehran. And the Christian backstory that I just quoted you to from Jeremiah's prophecy is an amazing promise. I will set my throne in Elam. I will restore their fortunes in the latter days. Well, again, author Bill Salas has unraveled what I believe is a very key prophecy referring to the latter times, Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 35 through 39. The Jeremiah prophecy refers to the latter times. It's not yet been fulfilled. In Jeremiah 49, we see hope. We see a future for the nation of Iran. We see destruction of their nuclear program. We see destruction of their government, their oppressive government, the kings and princes, verses 38 through 39. But we also see a restoration of its people. God states that he will one day set his throne in the center of Elam. He will permanently establish his kingdom there in the midst of Iran. This is from my book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. And I think about this marvelous prophecy, and I think about the cry of the Iranian people in these chants during the protests. They're calling on the Pahlavi dynasty to come and restore freedom and democracy. And God could use in the future, raise a Pahlavi, the son of the Shah, in that role. I don't know. But as they're chanting this, and as they're remembering the glory days of Iran under King Cyrus, who gave them tolerance and freedom, I believe God will intervene. I believe because he's the God in control of all world events, Daniel chapter 2, verse 20, I believe that the cry of the Iranians, although they're not at that point crying out for God, God will rescue them. And if you think about this evil nuclear program that the Biden administration wants to rejoin Iran with, think about this prophecy that I've explained to you. Think about the fierce disaster that could be the result of Israel attacking this Bushehr nuclear plant. It all seems to point to the validity prophecy. Now, Persia is mentioned again in Ezekiel 38, but this unique little prophecy toward the end of the book of Jeremiah is a hopeful prophecy that I believe God is going to use in the future in freeing the exiles from Iran, the millions of refugees that have had to flee, and bring them back to their homeland. Just this past week, my dear friend Gila, after spending 5 years in Turkey, is now safe in her new homeland in Canada. And I rejoiced with her. I'm so happy. It took her a long time, but she is a refugee. And I believe that one day, right before Christ's return, when this prophecy comes to pass, I believe my friend Gila can go back to her homeland, can be with the people that she loves, to be with her family that she left, and see how God has promised a future for her homeland. She's a Christian, and we have prayed together, we've met together, we've wept together for these 5 years, and I'm just so excited. But that's not the end of the story. For those Iranians that are crying out for freedom and democracy, I want them to know that God has a plan and a purpose for their nation. That right now, while things look grim and without hope, God will bring down this evil empire, this oppressive government one day, and he will restore the fortunes of Elam. I really ask you to take some time and read this prophecy yourself, Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 35 through 39. Also, purchase the book, Nuclear Showdown in Iran, Bill Salus, S-A-L-U-S. He goes into much greater detail about the time period. Now, this book was written about 10 years ago, but it's very accurate, I think, in everything it says. And as we think about this administration wanting to restore the nuclear program with Iran, I can see this prophecy very soon becoming a fulfillment. The events are all there. The actors on the stage are all there. Let's pray for the people of Iran to one day experience the ultimate hope of their hearts, and that is freedom and democracy and salvation through Jesus Christ. It has been a tremendous blessing to share this incredible prophecy with you this morning. If you have an opportunity, please share it with your friends. Please share this program on your timeline. God bless you. I want to say thank you so much for joining me. Have a great week, and I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. Have a great week.